As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I wanted to ask you, Dave, what is something you're leaving behind in 2024?
What am I leaving behind? I mean, everything, right? I'm leaving everything behind. So I will give meaning is the only thing I'll take away from what I have previous experience in the human experience. So for me, I'm leaving everything behind except for the meaning I need in order to facilitate getting to where I want to be.
Beautiful. You're the best that there is at extracting lessons from things that happened and using the catapult.
Trying to. Like I said, I'm in a really amazing energetic space and things are just flowing, and the prioritization will absolutely be a key component when things are happening. Look at this handsome guy.
I know. Dr. Frank, how you doing?
Dr. Frank got an extra 2 inches too. You guys all get extra height. I got to wear my hat higher. There you go.
Oh, man. You get the height any way you can get it, with a hat or with the hair.
Exactly. I love it.
Dr. Frank, it's so good to see you again. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well, thank you. Really, really well.
Yes. Yeah. Where are you dialing in from? Where are you right now?
Well, I'm in Boston this morning, and I'm heading out to L.A. this afternoon. So we'll spend a couple weeks in L.A. Enjoying the sun.
I love it. Let's dive right in. You're doing really good, and I saw your content recently, and you've been talking about how sometimes so much good can actually feel overwhelming to some people. Why is that, and how can you navigate that? What's something you could do about it?
Yeah, it's a good question, and you know, people get a little bit, overwhelmed by good, right? I'm not allowed to have it. It doesn't make sense for me. I'm not worthy of it. There's a lot of stuff that comes up for me in our unresolved childhood issues that don't line up with good. Okay. So sometimes good doesn't match what we feel inside. So therefore we can't receive it or we can't take it in. It's got to be aligned, like, hey, I deserve good. Hey, I'm worthy of good. I can accept that. When there's a mismatch, when there's, I'm unlovable, I'm not good enough, I'm a bad person, you can't receive the good, right? So it's not just a matter of taking it in. It's got to be aligned. And if it isn't, start looking at why. Like, get curious about why is it hard for me to take good in, you know? Another thing I'll say, honestly, is sometimes for people, good means that bad's around the corner. So they actually get freaked out by good. Like, here's good. I know what this means. It's going to be shit in a minute, right? So that's another reason why good is not okay either, if it's associated with bad right around the corner. So, you know, I got to tell you this thing. I'll say one other thing and then I'll stop. Like working with patients over the years, you do this amazing piece of work with them. You're like, help them heal their trauma, their shame wound. And you're like, the next session, they're going to effing love me. They're going to be like, Dr. Anderson, that was so amazing. Thank you so much. Like, this is what you think's going to happen. But like 9 times out of 10, it's like, worst week ever. I'm like, what? Like, not, I'm so appreciative. This is so wonderful. Like, it's really scary to feel good. I feel vulnerable to feel good. It's not what I'm used to, right? So you got to pay attention to all the reasons why good might not be good for everyone. Just be aware of it.
You're saying a lot of things that I think a lot of people feel, but probably didn't know how to articulate it, right, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so aligned with a difficulty that people have relative to what I call best option faith. And understanding that there's two constructs of faith in this infinite loop of giving. Those who give more have a difficult time understanding and being aware of all they're given. So they see punishment not as protection, perfection, love, and promotion, but then they don't feel worthy because they don't have faith. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. And so therefore, how could they be worthy of receiving such good feelings and good graces? And then it also contributes in the infinite loop of not asking for help or asking for more.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, and we see this a lot of time from people who have, you know, the personal development addiction syndrome, where they love to go to Dr. Frank because he makes them feel so good. And then they're sick right afterwards, in the lack. And so my thoughts, Dr. Frank, and I'm curious, you know, regardless of religion, philosophy, spirituality, or even theories that are out there, how important is just simple best option faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone? Therefore, I am given, I am receiving, I'm asking for more, I'm giving more, been given more, receive more, and ask for more than more.
Yeah, it's the paucity issue, right? If you grow up in an environment of paucity where there isn't enough, there's parts of you inside that are holding that energy, right? And so, yeah, there's, you know, the world is big enough. There is enough for everyone. We are given what we are able to receive and handle. But when you have a belief system stuck inside that holds different, like when you grew up in an environment there where it wasn't enough, we've got to hold on to what we have because it's not enough. You have to work with those places inside of you and release. It's a belief system that you're holding that isn't necessarily true to the present day situation. Like there's a way to release those beliefs so that you can actually trust you're getting exactly what you need. You deserve exactly what you're getting. And there's enough for everyone. You know, there's a lot of people that I've worked with over the years in the trauma field, the model makers, I call them. These are the gurus who have created the models, EMDR, Francine Shapiro, Dick Schwartz, Internal Family System, like all the model makers, right? They have this tendency to hold on to theirs because they're protecting it instead of this view of like, hey, there's enough to go around for everyone. And I'm not saying all of them hold that, but many of us grow up in this paucity model, and it is a mindset shift to be able to trust that there's enough, right? There's enough for everyone. And so you have to start what I would say having moments of a corrective experience, like challenge the belief and try something different. Challenge the belief and try something different. Like there's visiting your past, but there's also taking the risk to do it different now. And both of those are required for me, not just moving forward and not just staying stuck in your past. You have to do both to shift those kind of mindsets.
This is so helpful. Because I know when it comes to therapy, there's a misconception. A lot of people say that you spend too much time in the past, but this is a proactive, tangible strategy that someone could do immediately to begin to challenge those.
Yeah. One of the things I'll tell you, like I'm creating a new, speaking of model makers, I'm creating a new model of therapy myself. I'm like, damn, why am I doing this? But here's what I'm doing. I'm creating a model of therapy for people to heal outside of traditional method, because there's not enough therapists or coaches to heal all the trauma in the world. There just isn't enough. So I want people to learn how to do it themselves. And it is this, go back and visit, don't get stuck, and release it and move forward, because you can't change without moving forward also. It's kind of like a combination of psychotherapy, neuroscience, and coaching. Like I'm kind of putting it all together, because forward movement's important. So is visiting and releasing what you're carrying. And I really want people to be able to do this outside of these traditional methods that we have.
Beautiful. It is so beautiful. And genius to me is defined as an expression of God. And your expression and ability to put things into context is so helpful. And mm-hmm. I was someone who didn't go to therapy soon enough. And I really wanted to, it had such a significant change, because I unfortunately was abused as a 9-year-old. And it was thankfully from my wife, who said, hey, this is not something that you keep joking about. You need help. You need help simply to put it into context. And these models are important, and help from therapists like yourself are extremely important in order to facilitate the context that's necessary. And most people are in that situation that they don't realize that pain is omnipresent. Trauma is omnipresent. But my curiosity was accountability. So sexually abused as a 9-year-old by a relative, and my philosophy was, what did I do to attract this into my life? What did I do to be responsible for this? What did I do to participate in the perception of this? And there was this difficulty that I've had reconciling my infinite belief that, you know, we causally are here to learn from these experiences. But my therapist said to me something really interesting. He held a picture. He had me bring it in. Sorry for being emotional. I'm still working through it. But as a 9-year-old, he held the picture up. He said, what would this boy do to attract that to himself? What would this boy do to be responsible for that happening? And I still have a difficult time in the infinite realm. Human experience-wise, I can process it, put it into context. But in the infinite realm of what my beliefs are, I have a difficult time not being accountable for the bad things in my life. What advice do you give to people that may share that same perspective?
Yeah, thank you so much for kind of naming that and feeling it, right? Because both are important. It is universal in trauma, what you just described. It is universal. And what I mean by that is this. When somebody else violates our sense of self and they don't take responsibility for it, children take responsibility 100% of the time. That's what happens, okay? If you have a cycle where your parent gets drunk and they beat you up, and then the next day they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, it's my fault, I'll never do it again, and they actually mean it, you won't internalize that and you won't take responsibility for it. If they abuse you, say, I'm sorry, it'll never happen again, and then it happens again and again and again, you lose faith in them taking responsibility, right? Most perpetrators don't take responsibility for their actions. They don't. And therefore, kids have to make sense of the world, so they blame themselves. What could I have done? What did I do? It's universal. One of the main components of going back and visiting is correcting the distortion of responsibility. Okay. That is one of the main issues we do in healing, is who is really responsible. Like, the kid can't hold responsibility appropriately because there's a power differential. But you as an adult now, Dave, you're like, oh, I get it. That kid wasn't responsible for what happened to him. The person who does it and doesn't take responsibility is where the problem is. Wounds happen with a distortion of responsibility. When perpetrators don't take responsibility for their actions, kids do. And you're describing something very universal around every relational trauma that exists in the world. So thank you for naming that. And that is what, that is the work of correcting those distorted beliefs.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I think it was beautiful.
Sure. Thank you for the great advice.
Yeah, this is awesome. Dr. Frank, how do we know if and when it's too soon to forgive?
Oh, you're going to use the F word on me. I tell you, this is one of my favorite subjects, and it really pisses people off, okay? Because culture and society pushes forgiveness way too prematurely. The church does, culture and society does. Move on, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. Why are you hanging on? I don't agree with that. Like, I'm not a big fan of, here's what I say, heal first. Forgive second, not forgive as a replacement to healing. Okay. You have to release what happened to you first before you can forgive the person who harmed you. There's an order to forgiveness. Am I a fan of forgiveness? 100%. But you cannot do it prematurely. You can't forgive somebody else when you're still carrying the pain of what happened to you. So release that first, then work on releasing the anger and resentment that you carry towards the person who harmed you. Okay, there's an order to this, and I want to teach it. The other thing I'll say is, and this is another thing that freaks people out, forgiveness is not for the person you're forgiving. Not at all. It's for you. You release the energy that you're carrying about them. When I forgave my father, it didn't, I don't even know that it affected him. But what I do know is it massively affected me, because I no longer carry hurt, anger, and resentment toward him. I was free of what I was caring about him. That's what forgiveness is about. It doesn't let people off the hook. And if you do it prematurely, it isn't going to fix healing. So I thank you for asking it, Greg, because it's important. And I'm going to keep preaching it because I think it's really important. And people don't quite get it right. And I think there's a process around it that's super helpful for all of us.
It's so smart. I already said genius was the expression of God, and that's what we're being and sharing today. But we do have to reorder the alphabet, because too many people do go FGH, and it's really G first, which is gratitude defined as you need to find the light, the love, and the lessons to heal in the circumstance or the trauma. Then you can forgive, and then you heal.
Yeah.
And so being able to find the gratitude, healing, then forgive the final. The F is the final.
As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury, without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I study forgiveness, and it does upset people when they feel as if, well, you know, I need to forgive that person for that person. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about that person. What they think is none of my business, because I have no control over what they think. And the meaning that they're giving it has also no impact on me, and it only impacts them, but I can't control that meaning. In that realm, why do people want to either forgive or punish the perpetrator when they have no control over the meaning or that perpetrator gives it, or any impact on that perpetrator at all?
Well, it goes back to the original violation, because when you've been violated, there's usually a power differential and you don't have any control. None. Okay. So it's an attempt at controlling a situation where you were originally having no control over.
What if it's an equal, though? So not counting when you're a child. Let's just say siblings are pissed off at each other because there's so much snapshot childhood trauma between them, sibling rivalry, whatever. So they're the same age, and they want the forgiveness onto the other person, and they want to punish the other person. They don't see the harm they're causing to themselves.
Yeah, it's a natural. So first of all, let me just tweak the sibling thing. Even in siblings, there's a power difference. Even if it's slight, okay?
Yes.
Even if it's slight, okay? You're twins, and one is an alpha, and one is not. And there's a power differential energetically, okay? So sibling abuse also encodes a power differential. So I just want to name that, okay? But it is a natural tendency. If I'm hurt, I want to hurt you, right? It's a way of... It's a natural tendency. Like, if I'm hurt, I'm either going to fight or I'm going to flight. I'm going to disconnect and implode on myself, or I'm going to fight back, right? Those are natural, what I call protective responses. I'm trying to protect the part of me that carries the pain. And the most logical is hurting the other. It doesn't work, and we have no control over it. And that's part of what healing is about, is like, okay, I've got to stop this outward. Like the abuse happens from the outside. So we think the solution is outward also, right? It's a natural tendency. We have to stop that outward movement, shift internally, and really work with the parts of us that carry the pain, because most of us push the pain away to survive. So it's a shift in the way we approach things.
This is unbelievable. Dave, did we get the right main event there for 2024 or what?
Yeah, of course, the big finale. How many episodes of this have we done in a row, Bob?
97.
Oh, wow.
197. Yeah, not too bad. We haven't missed a week. We're very consistent.
Wow.
Obsessive. Two OCD brothers together. It's perfect. But we can deal with that issue later. Anyway, what are we going to bring home? What do you got, Craig?
Yeah. So, Frank, you wrote a memoir, To Be Loved. I think a question that is universal and everybody can connect to is, how does one begin to love themselves, or maybe love themselves more? What kind of practical maybe suggestions could you give for that?
You know what? It's talking about coming from God, Dave. Like, that title came from God. That was not my title. Like, it was not my title. It came to me, right? And after writing this memoir, or during the process of writing this memoir, I started recognizing every single behavior and belief in my whole life was organized around the desire to be loved. Everything. Going to medical school, picking the partners I picked, having children, go every single thing I was motivated by was really deep down motivated by this desire to be loved. I think it's a universal theme. I think every single person wants it. And I think we're in an imperfect world. And we all carry certain wounds around not being loved. I think being loved connects us back to God, honestly, which is the ultimate source of love, right? So we are holding that, you know, coming down into human form, separating from source energy, desiring this love, which we seek out in relationship, and then we hurt each other and reenact the pain. So I think it's all kind of back to the universal theme of to be loved. You know, you've heard me, Craig, say trauma blocks love and connection, and it's love and connection that heals trauma. And that's kind of it in a nutshell from my perspective. Wow.
I just have to say, you know, we need to share. We've done a lot of these. I've done thousands of interviews, Doc, and I'd love to have you on my other shows, of course. You and I speak the same language at the same frequency, but I love the way you articulate it, as Craig suggested. So please, everyone out there, share this. Craig will post it. We can reshare this. I'm going to share with my family and my kids as well, because I know the wisdom and the faith that has been elevated here is just so powerful at the end of the year, especially during the holidays, because so many people during the holidays have that reenactment, not of just Jesus, but the reenactment of the pain, as you suggest. And what great healing advice. And I just want to tell you how grateful I am. I appreciate you not charging me for my session. That's really kind. I'll take it as a Hanukkah gift. It's night number three, right, Craig? It's night number three for you.
Today's four.
Okay. Celebrate everything celebratable. So Craig and I, we're very confused on that. But I want to just thank you so much. Just everybody is in the comments. They all are like, where's this replay? We want this, you know, I am blown away by the insight. And I will tell you, the title of my eighth book this year coming out in the fall came, but it's on a different realm. My book's title that came through me is Don't Do Business with Dicks. And so it's surrounding yourself with the right people, the right ideas. Yeah. Coordinated, not quite as positively stated, though. So, Dr. Frank, I just wanted to send you my love. And hopefully you feel our respect and our love for you taking the time on a Saturday morning to join us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Frank, real quick, I know you have a lot of exciting things going on. How can our community maybe get involved, or what are you most excited about right now?
Yeah, so great. So follow me in all the ways you can follow me. There's so much going on right now. Like, I can't even believe it. Like, one of the things, I didn't tell you this, Craig, I don't think, the memoir To Be Loved is going to be adapted to a movie.
Whoa.
So I'm so thrilled. I have a, look at that. The fireworks are showing. So I have a company called Trauma Informed Media, where I'm bringing content to Hollywood, to the general public about trauma informed content. So one of the projects is going to be To Be Loved, adapted to the screen. And then my next book, I still haven't gotten the title yet, is Creating a Model of Therapy for the General Public, Learning How to Heal Trauma. So there's a lot of exciting things going on for me. I'm really excited about this 2025 and all the things to come. And yeah, let's stay connected. Like, healing doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in connection and community. So let's stay connected with each other. It takes a village to do this. And thank you for having me as part of yours.
Beautiful. Thank you, brother. And Dave, where are you going to be traveling? Where can we find you on the road?
Yeah, I'm going to name the model GHF, Gratitude, Healing, and Forgiveness. The GHF by Dr. Frank there. Like, I'm everywhere, over 200 cities. We'll be in Atlanta with Itzler and David Goggins, myself on the Aspire Tour. Then we'll be at CES doing an investor mastermind and a content. We'll be at the Win at my studio there. Over at the Global Gaming League, we have a new 43,000 square foot global gaming facility. So come and see us in Atlanta, of course, in Las Vegas next. Napoleon Hill Institute, as chairman, we're relaunching Napoleon Hill Institute's revitalization January 11th on my birthday. So join us there. And everyone, join our private coaching and networking group. We got thousands of people that want to help each other, know people that can help each other. And that's a great thing at the end of the year and into 2025. I'm just so grateful and forgiving of you, Craig. I love you. And we appreciate you so much. And Dr. Frank, I'm excited to get you on more of our stuff. My community needs you. That's for sure. And our community needs you. Craig,
God bless you and happy new year to both of you.